Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Beyond Reality on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Kerr. You can visit my website at www.galactichealing.org. I just got back from California. It was a great trip. I love L.A., I'll tell you that. And today I have a very special guest. If you've read my books, Gemstone Journeys or Edgar Cayce's Guide to Gems, you may notice that there's a stone listed in both of those books that I highly, highly recommend called Infinite. And today on the show, I'm going to have Stephen Rosley. He's the guy who actually found this powerful and special form of serpentine that is found only in one location in a mine in Africa. This is the stone I talked about on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. It's the one that seems to take on your physical illnesses by turning dark. Like, people will actually hold it for a few minutes and the stone will turn dark. And it is one of, in my opinion, one of the most powerful healing stones on the planet. And recently, because I've been on the road so much, I have turned my retail operation over to Steve. He has a beautiful gallery in the Chicago area where you can actually come visit if you want to come into the store and pick up any of my books and see all of these wonderful gemstones. And so by doing this merger that we've had happen recently, it's just been really awesome because it's completely expanded the inventory, because a lot of the materials, the gems and minerals and metals and things that I've been talking about, and particularly in the Edgar Cayce's book, are very, very obscure. And Stephen is one of the best people I know for being able to find these materials so that we can actually use them. So, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be on. Thank you.
Well, great. It's just great to have you. I've been telling people for years about Infinite, and I was wondering if we could start today by just telling everybody how you found this stone that I consider to be probably the most miraculous stone on planet Earth. How did you find it?
Well, I ended up going to South Africa in search of another stone called Ahoite, A-J-O-I-T-E, which is one of the most sought-after crystals in the metaphysical world. There is no more of it. But I had a contact with a gentleman in a company in South Africa that tumbled stones. And he would tumble stones in a place that he called the Farm, which was about 20 miles west of Johannesburg. And I went to the farm, and he was showing me all his stones and how he tumbled. And he had big piles of rough stones. And over in the corner, he had a pile of this green stone, which was serpentine with a little bit of chrysotile in it. And I went over there, and I said, "Oh, this is really nice. Could you polish me up a piece?" And they polished up a piece about the size of a 4x6 card. And it was beautiful. It was just all different shades of green. It had a little bit of green tiger's eye in it. And it really felt good. So I brought it back to Chicago. And since it was a serpentine with chrysotile, I thought it should have its own name. So we had a contest here in Chicago to name it. And I had like 45 different people who meditated with the stone. I got 45 different names. The one I really liked the best was Angelica, because I felt that the stone has just wonderful angel energy. But that shows how short-sighted I was when Spirit came in, and the stone actually came in and said it wanted to be called Infinite. And that's really how it got its name, and it's, you know, taken about 11 years now for people to realize what its potential is. It will pull pain out of the body. I've had people from all over the world who've used it, people who have been in pain for years and years and years, and they hold on to it, and all of a sudden the pain just dissipates.
You're listening to Beyond Reality. I'm talking to Stephen Rosley about this miracle stone called Infinite. If you want to see Infinite online, you can visit the website at www.shop.galactichealing.org. You know, that's the thing. I mean, when I'm talking about the stones, that this woman, I was teaching a class, and within, I handed her a piece, and within a couple of minutes, the thing was black. I mean, I think people don't realize, it's like, it's just hard to believe, you know, when you see these things with your physical eyes, but the thing is, this really does happen. And from what you're saying here, it happens quite often.
Oh, yes. In fact, I remember a lady in, I think it was Philadelphia that was at a show. She had bought a piece a year ago, and she looked at it. She said, you know, I can see one of my animal guides in here, and it looked like a turtle. And she came back the next year, and she says, it's been amazing. It's changed. The color has changed, and now I can see a bird inside it. You know, so yes, it does change color. It is a wonderful, wonderful tool for practitioners to use. The one thing, though, I recommend, though, is if a practitioner is using Infinite, it may have to be cleansed fairly often. If an individual is using it, it doesn't necessarily have to be cleansed that often. Because, as you know, stones do pick up negativity and all sorts of yuck.
Right. How do you recommend people clean the Infinite?
Well, there's about seven different ways that you can clean different stones, anywhere from putting it in sunlight, moonlight, digging a hole and burying it, putting it under running water, salt, smudging it, visualizing it. Smudging, to me, is one of the better ways because it not only cleans the stone, it cleans you and it cleans the room. But another really good way is using selenite. Selenite is probably one of the most undiscovered minerals out there because selenite brings white light in the physical body. It cleanses and cleans your aura and gets rid of negativity. So if you put a piece of selenite, let's say on your bedside table, and at night when you take your jewelry off, you put it on the selenite, and the next morning it's not only been cleansed, but it's been regenerated, rejuvenated. It's the only mineral in the mineral kingdom that does both.
I have loved selenite for a long, long time, and some of the best pieces are the ones that I've been getting from you. I think they're absolutely stunning. They come in these long wands, and they're very good to lay on the body, I found, because they seem to open up all the chakras, and they just bring a lot of light and a lot of energy to the person.
Oh, and yes. They're really... in fact, it was interesting. I did a presentation at the Crystal Conference in Burlington, Vermont last year, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, my whole lecture changed. What I ended up doing is building my first grid, and I put seven pieces of selenite in a circle, and in between them, I used the Ohio Celestite, which is also another beautiful white light angelic energy stone. Last year, I took my soulmate to a little island in Lake Erie called Put-in Bay, and it has the largest geode in the world. And we went out there at the end of Katrina, and in order to get across the island, you had to park your vehicle on the mainland and take a boat across. And it was raining, and it was really misty, and it was such amazing. The island just appeared out of the mist like we were going to Avalon.
And wow.
It was just amazing. And when we got there, the island's 1 mile by 3 miles long. And the people that own the geode call it the Crystal Cave, and they really don't know what they have. It's about 40 square feet, and you go roughly 50 feet into the earth. And here are crystals that started to grow before the dinosaurs roamed the earth. And going down into the geode, I felt I was going into the womb of the universe. It just felt so wonderful. And my beloved Cheryl and I were able to meditate in there. And what happened was really funny is that I had the idea of maybe purchasing some of the Ohio Celestite. And on the way out of the geode, I asked the director if he knew anybody in the neighborhood that might have some Celestite to sell. and I talked to the owner, and I asked him as we were coming up, I noticed that he had some selenite. And I said, how did you do with your selenite? He says, I do very well, but I can't find a supplier. Well, I had 600 pounds of it on the mainland in my van. You talk about synchronicity.
Wow.
Says, we did a trade. And the mineral is awesome. It really, really is. There's just so much out there in the mineral kingdom to help us to become whole and to transcend this humanness back to into our spiritual side.
How did you originally get interested in Gems and Minerals?
Well, in 1991 was my year of transformation. During the first 9 months of the year, my father died. I lost the best job I ever had. I went through a really messy divorce while I was taking care of my mother with Alzheimer's. It was kind of like spirit knocks on the door and says, it's time to change, and you don't listen, and knocks on the door again, it's time to change, and you don't listen, and all of a sudden, these things happen. And what happened is my father, when he retired, he and my mom took, he got involved in lapidary, and my mom and he took cargo ships all over the world. And he had accumulated over 500 pounds of stones and crystals, which when he died, he left it to my brother and I. And we both weren't very interested. But what happened is when my unemployment insurance ran out, I had become accustomed to eating. Yeah, so I ended up taking some of the stones to the local flea market. And I'll never forget that Saturday I came back with $350 in my wallet, thinking, wow, this is great. Not realizing I sold $4,000 worth of stones, but I thought it was great. Well, this one thing led to another, and in 1993, I opened my first store in Chicago, Rosley's Rocks and Gems, and I've had a store ever since. So it was kind of like a legacy my father left me. And it was just, you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
You're definitely where you're supposed to be. I know that spirit giving you a big cosmic kick in the keister to get going. I guess that's somehow what we need, but it all works out in the end. So,
well, you know, once you get on your spiritual path, these things just happen. And the word synchronicity happens all the time. Now,
absolutely. You're listening to Beyond Reality. I'm talking to Stephen Rosley. You can call us if you have a question about gems and minerals. Toll free, 877-876-5227. Or if you're in Canada, give us a call at 888-810-8322. So tell us about some of the other new power stones that are really coming into the planet energetically right now, in your opinion.
Well, I find that there are a lot of wonderful stones. My specialty is really going into the unusual, you know, the stones that you've read about but have never seen before. And stones from Madagascar, to me, are the most highly evolved stones on this planet. My belief is that Madagascar is the only landmass left of Lemuria. My soulmate disagrees with me a little bit. She believes that we seeded more crystals in Madagascar than we did anywhere else in the world. That's why there's more of that Lemurian energy there. But lately, there's been a lot of wonderful stones coming out of Tanzania. There has been the new Tanzanian sunstone is by far one of the most beautiful stones. It has all the colors of the rainbow in it. And in the past, we've been able to get good sunstone out of Oregon and India. And the Oregon sunstone has been very facet quality. In other words, like in rings and has the different facets, where the Indian has been more like a cabochon, where it's just polished or tumbled. But this new sunstone coming out of Tanzania is like both. Some of it's facetable. It's got platelets of color, which is bringing the energy of the sun. You know, the sun is really what helps us grow and enables us to be here on this planet. Of course, you've got tanzanite coming out of there too, which is tanzanite's the stone of magic. It's such a magical stone. The color, of course, is that blue third eye crown type of stone. And it facilitates spiritual awareness and increases our insight. And another stone that's just recently come to the market is alexandrite. They have color-changing alexandrite in Tanzania, which is just beautiful. Under one light, it'll look purple, and the other light, it'll look green. There's just all sorts of other stones. I just recently got back from a trip to Denver at the show, and for some reason, you know, I find stones and I don't know why. And then I go look it up in the book, and there's, you know, many different books. Your books are awesome. In fact, you were the first one to have Infinite published in a book. But I picked up a stone called aragonite, and I really didn't understand why. It kind of reminds me of an explosion. It goes in different directions. It's a wonderful little stone here, and it's really good for clarity, for us to be able to see the truth and bring psychic awareness. It's good for memory. I should carry some around in my pocket a little bit. You know how that is sometimes. and it gives us a clearer perspective of things. You know, sometimes we have to get outside our bodies really to see where we are and what's going on around us.
So the aragonite, isn't that the one that looks almost, I call it like a little hairdo? Like, doesn't it look like it's all
It reminds me of Krypton exploding.
It looks like Cousin It to me. I don't know.
It's got all these, like, little circular things coming out of each side of it. It's just...
Yeah, I think that's a really neat stone.
And of course,
I haven't had any of that in a long time.
Yeah, I when I was there, I got that, and I also got some really purple fluorite from Mexico. And that's another really nice stone. And then another stone that I just realized that I found was yellow spodumene. You know, spodumene is, if it's pink, it's called kunzite. If it's green, it's called hiddenite. But spodumene is a lithium crystal. Now, you have yellow spodumene, which really works on your solar plexus, which is ruled by yellow, whereas the kunzite is ruled by your heart, which is pink or green. And there are all sorts of things. And I find that as we become more aware, we will become more aware. Things will come together. It's just like 2 years ago, I was talking to one of my dealers in Madagascar material, and I wanted to get some phenakite. And he was going through this big box, throwing little bags out all over the place. And then he pulls out this one bag, and he said, "Here, have you tried this? It's called rhodazite." I said, "What? Rhodazite? Never heard of it." And they're really itty-bitty crystals. And he wanted a lot of money for the bag. And I finally realized that Spirit came in and said, "Hey, Stephen, try this. You'll see something." So I took it and I started to play with it. I counted the crystals and they weren't that bad. And I felt that I had felt this stone before, but not in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that we used to use this stone in Lemuria, that any time a stone or a crystal was dug out of Mother Earth energy and put into our environment, we would place a rhodazite crystal on it, which facilitated the transformation from Mother Earth energy into our environment. It's a facilitator. It's actually what I call the master crystal. It's kind of like a facilitator, personal trainer in the mineral world. You know, many people will have like a medicine bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will have all these different stones in their bag. And to me, that's like a bag of Orville Redenbacher's microwave popcorn in the microwave with a minute to go. each of the stones are doing their own thing, going all over the place, pocket, 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 you know. And you drop one little piece of rhodazite in the middle of the bag, and all of a sudden, all the stones will come together and say, what would you like us to do? You know, we're
so it kind of gets them into alignment, so
exactly.
They're not all scooping around.
It gets them into an organization to help and to grow and to do what's needed to be done. What's your favorite stone?
Before I answer that, which I will, I want to say something about that rhodazite, because I got some of that from you several years ago. Now we do have some on the site now at shop.galactichealing.org. And the thing I noticed about it that you actually brought to my attention is that no matter what stone you're working with, that the rhodazite to me is almost like a volume. They just turn up the volume on whatever frequencies or energies the particular stone you're working with is bringing. Do you find that to be the case also?
Oh, yes, very much so. When you look at rhodazite may be an eighth of an inch. It's such a little crystal, but it's multidimensional. When you put it in somebody's hand, or one of the things I've done with people is I'll take a really small stone and put it on top of their head and hold it there, and they close their eyes, and then I will lift it above their head about 6 inches and then bring it straight down their chakras. And then ask them, did you feel anything? And they always reach on top of their head thinking the stone is still there, because that energy has permeated them. And what rhodazite does, for example, let's say you're attracted to a certain stone. Well, the reason why you're attracted to this stone is because you need the energy that it has to help you become whole.
Exactly.
And it will bring you up. Its level, let's say, is like on your forehead, and you're down by your stomach, energetically speaking, and that stone will bring you up to its level. And as soon as you're at its level, then you don't need it anymore. You lose it, it breaks, it, you know. You can't find it.
Rose, you know, that's such a good point that you're bringing up, because that's exactly how I would explain it. And the thing is, when you ask me what my favorite stone is, sometimes it's just hard for me to figure out what that even is anymore, because I know people who have read my books know historically that I've always loved the Larimar, but I think I'm finished learning from the Larimar now. And now I'm really more into the Lemurian seed crystals. The Infinite is a big teacher for me now, the Selenite and stuff like that, because that's why I call the book Gemstone Journeys, because I think it's like a journey. Like some of your friends you have for your whole lifetime, while others come in for a reason, a season, or just for some particular purpose, and then once you get the lesson from that, then you kind of tend to move on, you know?
Exactly. You're going to use what you need, and when you don't need it anymore, it's time to go further.
Go find something new.
Exactly. And the thing is, too, that for example, with the rhodazite, you can put that with another stone, and all of a sudden, it's, as you said before, it's like turning up the volume. It just, and if you have, for example, Larimar is a wonderful, wonderful stone.
It is.
I have a meditation kit, or when I do a meditation, I lay stones in my body, and Larimar is the one I use for my throat chakra, because it not only has blue in it, but it has white, and it also will have some dark colors. And, of course, each of those colors represents a different chakra. Now you take your Lemurian seed crystals. These are like, they vibrate. They just absolutely vibrate. They're almost like a key to the lock.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we've been around and around the block about this whole Atlantean experience, and that's been kind of pretty predominant in the popular culture for many, many years. But now, as you know, the energies are shifting and people are really interested in learning and reading more about Lemuria, and more people are finding these seed crystals around the planet. And I believe that they're going to start finding them not only just in Brazil and now Russia, but as you saw it said, like Madagascar and all over the place. They're going to start popping up all over the place. And I think it's because we're really ready for that energy now.
I think that's the key right there. we're ready.
That maybe it was here all along, but it was like we didn't even notice it was here because we weren't ready.
Exactly.
And I think that's maybe why, I mean, I would never believe that I wouldn't be ready to jump up and down about Larimar, because, I mean, I used to just turn cartwheels about that stuff. And, I mean, I think I've talked a lot about it. I sold a lot of it over the years. But now I'm like, I'm okay with it now. I just think we're Atlantean, if we want to get into the more mythological energy, or whatever you want to call that, energies of it, it's more that masculine, aggressive energy. And I think that the Larimar, what it was doing, or what it did for me, and what it's still doing for people, I mean, I think it's still needed by people, is kind of helping them to heal some of that Atlantean energy. But that now, with the Lemurian energy, that more feminine, divine, peaceful energy, that those crystals are coming in right now, because we need to be able to work with them to unlock the wisdom that we have within them, so that we can start bringing that frequency out on planet Earth, so we can save the world or whatever, you know? And I really think that's why people are really becoming very, very interested in that information right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things I noticed when I was in Denver last week, it seemed like a lot of people had meteorites.
Yeah, I've been seeing more of those also. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Well, it could be that we're trying to connect more with our extraterrestrial relatives than ever before. You know that I know that you know about moldavite.
Yes.
And moldavite is a tektite. And tektites are formed. Actually, what a tektite is, an offspring of the father, let's say, is the meteor, hitting Mother Earth. And what they do is, when the two of them come together, there is a birth called a tektite. And whether it's called moldavite, or it could be called tektite, or Libyan glass, or Darwin glass, these are all formed when a meteor hits the Earth. They're having great discussions as, are they really formed here on Earth, or is it formed in outer space? My belief is it's formed on Earth, because you have, like I said, the father is the meteorite, the mother is the Earth, and together they produce an offspring called tektite.
Wow, that's cool. So the thing about that I had been taught about moldavite is that they believe that the material that moldavite is made of, that fell in that crater in Czechoslovakia, is truly extraterrestrial in origin, where what I had heard about some of the other tektites is more that when that meteor fell to Earth, there was a chemical reaction that potentially like melted and molded nickel and different kinds of metal material into the tektite. So in your opinion, I mean, are there any other extraterrestrial origin stones other than the meteor, or would you consider just the fact that this meteor fell from outer space, that in and of itself, whether it blended with other materials or not, makes it extraterrestrial?
I would say my belief is the only really extraterrestrial is the meteorite, because it was formed in outer space. I mean, there is just so many. The thing is, the tektite is meteoric glass. That's the definition of a tektite. And when a meteor hits, let's say, sand, it produces glass. Or there's another thing, like you've got fulgurites, which are when lightning hits the earth or sand, it forms a fulgurite, which is a form of glass. You've got obsidian is volcanic glass. It is the sand heated up to form glass. The moldavite is different, is very different because of its clarity. You know, the green, you know, you can facet it, you can see through it like any other gemstone.
Mm-hmm.
Of the other tektites, you can't. And, of course, it's the way the construction of it's a little bit different, too. It's got more bumps, so to speak. But I find that if you really want to get into the outer space and to really connect with extraterrestrial, go to the father, the meteorite.
Right. So when you saw them at the show, I mean, are they coming from different areas? Are there certain areas that those meteorites are coming from at this time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get them from Russia. You can get them. The least expensive ones are coming out of China. The next more expensive ones are coming out of Argentina. Of course, we do have some here in the States. Actually, in Chicago, we had that meteorite that hit, a year or two ago. And people were scrambling all over the place trying to find little fragments and things like this. But, yeah, meteorites fall everywhere.
I was picked up a few from time to time. There was one I had that kind of gave me a big zing. But I think I'm probably already out there in the cosmos anyway. Maybe I don't need a meteorite. I don't know.
You know, we're attracted to what we need. You know, the one thing that happened to me when I first started in the business at the flea market, I decided to make a healing chart where I had different definition of like 10 or 15 different stones. And what I did is when someone would buy something, then I would give them the healing chart. And 99 out of 100 people would say, oh, I need this. And then I realized that if we don't know much, we go to what we need. And it's just like if people are attracted to certain stones or certain colors, that their body needs this.
Yeah, it's interesting to know why, I think, because it helps to reinforce what you're doing. But the reality is like what you said, they're going to go to what they need anyway, whether they understand why they need it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a group about that the other day when I was in California. We're talking about gems and minerals, and I was talking about people want to know, like, well, how am I going to pick one out, and why should one kind, like, is a tumble stone better than a raw one, or vice versa? And I was talking about, like, a phenomenon that really happens a lot with ladies. Like, you'll buy a piece of jewelry, and you'll think, wow, you know, this is the greatest piece of jewelry I've ever had, or this ring or this necklace or whatever, and you think, I'll never stop wearing this. And then the next thing you know, you look in your drawer, and 10 years have gone by, and you're going, wait a minute, do I still have that old thing? I thought I'd never, take that thing off. And I think it's not even just about gems and minerals, but it's about anything in your life that you need.
Yeah, you get it when you need it, and a lot of times it's just like somebody will get a crystal, and then they'll lose it. Or hematite rings are a good example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very grounding. And people buy them and they break. Well, they break because either they've done their job or you don't need it anymore. You know, when somebody says to me, my favorite crystal cracked and broke in half, what do I do with it? Well, you can either give it to someone, or in some instances what you can do is put one piece in one corner of your house and put the other piece in the opposite corner. And then, of course, then again, too, is, you hear about people making gemstone elixirs and, you name it.
So this is new. You put half of it in one half of the house,
mm-hmm.
and the other half in the other half?
Yeah, and it'll connect, etherically speaking.
Kind of to create an etheric field?
Exactly.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, you could especially do that with selenite. Selenite is just, if you want your house to be cleansed, you can make yourself a grid. I mean, they don't have to be touching. It should be in the same direction. What I did before when I put the seven pieces together, I can have them separated and not touching, and they're still sending that energy. It's almost like going into a white light chamber of protection.
Yeah, that's a powerful stone. I like to keep it underneath my bed.
It works really well for energy workers under
yeah.
the massage table.
Yeah, I think it helps keep the field clear, that's for mm-hmm. sure. Now, the one stone that you had that I've been going nuts over lately, I have to admit, yeah, even now, I still love that, is the purple anhydrite. So what is that doing for me?
Oh, the purple anhydrite, this is a really unusual stone because most anhydrites are blue and they come out of Mexico, and there's also a blue one coming out of South America called angelite.
I love that anhydrite.
But in Madagascar, they happen to have a purple anhydrite. I've never seen the actual stone. All I've seen are pieces that have been polished. And then you also mentioned something about the difference of being polished and unpolished.
Right.
To me, it's like, if it's unpolished, it could be me in a sweatsuit. If it's polished, it's like me in a suit or a tuxedo. It's still me. Now, I may look differently on the outside, but inside, I'm still the same. So my belief is, whether it's polished or unpolished, there's no difference. Now, your ego might like to have things more polished and pretty and more expensive so you can show it off to other people, but you really don't need it, you know.
Right.
And to pick stones, this is another thing that people always ask me. How can I pick a stone for myself, or how can I pick a stone for someone else? And what I usually recommend is you go to a shop that has a lot of stones, you stand before those stones, you close your eyes and center yourself, and then you take a nice deep cleansing breath, you bring in goodness, exhale yuck, and then you say out loud, and it can still be to yourself, what do I need? Or if you want to buy something for someone else, you picture that person in your third eye, and you ask, what do they need? And when you open your eyes, whatever jumps out at you is what they need.
That's very good. I think then what happens is that I have people sometimes just close their eyes and reach into the, like, let's say they've got, okay, now they've narrowed the stone down. Now they want to say, which one out of these 100 pieces am I going to take? And I have them close their eyes and just reach in, because I think energetically it's the first thing that you energetically pick up. But I think what happens when you're mentioning the ego, because that does come into play, people go, well, that one looks neat, but this other one over here is really prettier, you know, and I think that's steps in, but that's not really what the person actually needs.
You know, I remember my spiritual advisor once telling me to take off my glasses and see, and I thought, what? You're crazy. If I take off my glasses, I can't see. But what she was trying to say is, yes, you can't see in this reality, but there are other realities.
Exactly.
Your glasses hold you back. And it's just like if you're going to reach in a bag, or if you're going to just close your eyes and let your and just feel the energy of the stone, you're going to pick the right one. It's your when you open your eyes and you get your mind and ego involved, you know, it's not a pleasant sight.
That's for sure. You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. If you have a question about gems and minerals, give us a call at 877-876-5227, or in Canada, toll-free at 888-810-8322. Now, here's something that people always ask me about that I think you are probably the expert on this particular arena. People want to know if it's okay for them to put this stone A next to stone B and what's going to happen. And to me, you are the master, the crystal master, of actually being able to do what you call like the crystal cocktails, where you'll mix different energies together, and you experiment with that probably more than any other person I know, and you get some very, very interesting results. So talk to us about the cocktails and what some of the best ones are and how they can be used.
Well, you know that there are some stones that are harder than others. And this is where you really need to know. You know, you don't want to put a fluorite with a quartz crystal, because then you're going to end up with powdered fluorite because of the difference in hardness. But I find that if you stick with the similar hardnesses, now, the way stones are measured, they go from a hardness of 1 to 10. 10, of course, is a diamond. 1 is talc. And in order to identify stones, you can do it by checking how hard it is. A 9 is a corundum, which is either a sapphire or a ruby. An 8 is topaz. And then there is a 7, which is quartz, and so forth and so on. So you don't want, like for example, 2, aragonite and selenite are round 3-4 in hardness. But when it comes to picking stones together, I find if you go with your gut, and also that, for example, with people who meditate, have a tendency to be able to feel more energy and pick things. If you can tune into the stones, color is good. I just get it etherically. When I first started my business, I lived above my store, and I don't feel energy physically. I get it etherically. And what happens is that pictures pop in my head or stones pop in my head and say, oh, put this one with this one. For example, I did a mineral cocktail with ferrotinolite. Ferrotinolite is green, but and ferro meaning iron. But I felt ferrotinolite helps you access ancient memories of Egypt. And then I put it with hulandite, which is kind of another green stone, but hulandite helps you access memories of Atlantis and Lemuria. And then the third stone I put was tanzanite, the stone of magic, which kind of brought them all together, because here we are, ancient Egypt, Lemuria and Atlantis, and then bringing the stone of magic in together. And then what I've done is I've wire-wrapped them in gold and silver, gold being the masculine metal and silver being the feminine. So it balances the yin-yang within the stones. Another mineral cocktail, which I think is one of the best, is infinite with ahoite and dravite. Dravite is brown tourmaline. Brown tourmaline grounds you like a feather floating down to the earth. My soulmate trans-channeled brown tourmaline, and what she got out of it is that the tourmaline said that it grounds your etheric body, and by grounding your etheric body, it grounds your physical body, but you don't really recognize it as readily as, say, a black tourmaline or a hematite. And the three of them together, the infinite, dravite, and ahoite, are subtle stones. Their energy is very, very subtle. And sometimes subtleness will work better than something that's more direct and straightforward. You know, it's sometimes you can get into those muscles that hurt much more readily by a nice soft massage working into it rather than having a chiropractor come in and crunch you.
Right. Exactly. Now, the dravite, isn't that from Russia?
No, dravite, let's see, dravite comes from, well, the first dravites I was getting was out of Australia.
Oh, okay. I have one of those.
Some are really big. In fact, I have one that aquamarine was growing out of one that I happened to find, and of course, I made it into a piece of jewelry. But lately, the dravites are coming out of Nepal and Tibet area, which are just beautiful. And then they also have dravite in Brazil.
Oh.
But
I have
to see
that. I'm going to have to go back and look at it again now.
Well, you're going to be going to Russia soon, so you'll be able to find all sorts of new stones.
I am. I'm going to Russia next week.
That's
and I can't wait.
Fantastic.
Because what is interesting, I don't know if it's just because it's the observer effect, but when I went to Tucson, when you and I were both there, which was in February, I kept picking up all the Russian stones. And now the big thing is the Russian Lemurians are coming out and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Who knows what I'll find. But what I noticed is when I went to Africa, you and I didn't obviously didn't go to the same places. When I was on the tourista route, that I didn't think they sold as many stones because I don't know that they realized that the touristas wanted to buy them.
What part of Africa?
Or at least in the places where I went. So.
Where did you go?
I went, flew into first to Cape Town and went down to the Cape of Good Hope, and then we flew to a game park that was outside of Johannesburg.
Oh, neat. Yeah,
but we were on it, you know, I was with a tour, and so they were mainly selling carvings and stuff. And so I'm kind of curious to see if the Russians realize that I want to buy rocks, please.
Okay. Yeah, when we took a little 1,500-kilometer drive from Joburg to Springbok, which is all the way across northern South Africa.
Wow.
You know, the thing that amazed me was we handpicked 8.5 tons of rose quartz. And when we were doing that, that's when I got the idea of coming out with love lights, where we hollowed out the rose quartz and put a light bulb in it. And then I brought them to Tucson, and the Brazilians saw it, and all of a sudden, everybody's got them.
Wow, I did not realize.
Yeah.
Those things are cool. In fact, I have one of those at home.
They're so nice.
Did we know we wouldn't have those?
They're so nice.
For the Crystal Master. If you have a question to ask Steve, you can either call us now toll-free at 877-876-5227 or in Canada, 888-810-8322, or you can email him at galactichealing@crystalmaster.com. Give us the address of the store there.
Yes, I'm here in Chicago, and the north side, we're in a place called Lincoln Square, which is the address is 2257 West Eastwood, as in Clint Eastwood, and we're 4,800 north and 2,400 west. It's a small store, but it's packed.
I love your store. I think it's awesome. It's right in this really cool neighborhood. You can take the L train and just hop off the train. There's old coffee shops and everything all over the neighborhood. It's awesome. I love it. Now, what is your toll-free number there that people can reach you?
1-800-844-1498.
And what's the Chicago number?
It's 773-561-7200.
Okay, great. So if people are just now getting into, let's say they've never, you know, I'm still running into, believe it or not, people who haven't really worked with gems and minerals. What do you recommend people do if they're just starting to explore this? Should they read a book or should they just go into a mineral shop like yours and just run wild, or how should they do that?
Well, you know, they could do both. Your book on the Edgar Cayce book and the Gemstone Journey is an excellent book to start with. You know, just go in to find out what you're attracted to. There are some other books out there that are just, you know, huge and very long and which are good in one aspect, but sometimes when you're trying to find a stone that's in them, you're never going to find it. The problem I find with a lot of us human beings is that we look in a book and we find something and we say, oh, we really have to have it. But in reality, in the mineral world, what you find in a book and what it does is you're looking for what it does, not its name. You know, if you're looking for something to help you have more courage, you know, stick up for yourself, you know, and it says it's gobbledygookite. Well, in reality, you're not looking for gobbledygookite. You're looking for the stone that will help you do that. Infinite, to me, is the penicillin of the mineral world. It is the first line. If you have a problem, I always recommend try infinite and see what happens, because what we perceive that the problem is may not be that. You know, it's like in Western medicine, you have a headache, you take an aspirin. But your headache might be caused by your kidneys not having enough liquid going through them. If you'd have a drink of water, you would get rid of your headache.
Right. The infinite seems to just be all-inclusive. We don't have to know why it works. Just work it.
That's it. You really don't. You know, we've got to really, I believe we have to learn to accept things a little bit more.
We do. I think that would bring a greater level of peace if we could just say, it is because it is. We don't need to know why.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and sometimes when I do my lectures, I tell people I found the answer to all questions. And then they ask, well, what is the answer to all questions? And I said, the answer to all questions is because. And then I say, yeah. Then I say, there is another answer, though. There is another answer other than because. And that is that you meditate and ask. And what you need to know will be given to you. And if you don't need to know it, you don't get an answer.
That's true. That's very true. I'm talking to Stephen Rosley. If you want to see some of these stones online, visit the website at www.shop.galactichealing.org, or you can send Steve an email at galactichealing@crystalmaster.com. The last thing I want to talk about is something I know right now that's very near and dear to your heart, and that is the crystal skulls.
Ooh.
It has the most awesomely huge skull that I have ever been in the presence of in my whole life. I mean, it's, oh my God, it's incredible. And if you guys are in Chicago or you're going on a business trip, you need to go over there and vibe out with the skulls. So tell us about the skulls and how you got into those. And
well, actually,
your big one and the one that you recently reconnected with.
Oh, well, that's my soulmate, Cheryl Nodea, has been really instrumental with getting involved in skulls. She has mentioned a lot about skull consciousness, and it's not just Halloween. In my shop, I've had Max has come twice, and about 6-7 years ago, I had a customer who wanted really nice skulls, crystal skulls, and I went out and bought them skulls, and there was one parcel that I got that had three skulls in it, and I wanted to keep one, and this one was, I named it Char. And what happened is this gentleman, Gene is his name, came to the store during a period of time when sales were really low and I needed money. And he made me an offer for Char that I couldn't refuse. And on the top of Char's head, and Char's about a 15-pound quartz crystal skull, pretty clear and a lot of rainbows, I put a little note saying NSF, not for sale. Well, Gene moves away to Indianapolis, and I get a call about 5 months ago from a guy in Oregon saying that his brother died and left a large collection of minerals and skulls. And we started to talk, and I said, it wasn't Gene, was it? And he said, yes. And I, you know, my heart just dropped, and I felt really bad. And he said that, you know, they're selling his estate, and would I be interested? So I went down there. And I purchased, and I didn't realize this at this time, but I bought 13 crystal skulls, and one of them was Char. And when I got Char back here, I really realized that we're only caretakers. You know, we have a universal library card, and we can check everything out of the library. But when it's time for us to check out, everything goes back to the library for someone else to have it.
Right.
But while I was down there, I saw this huge 67-pound quartz crystal skull. And I didn't really connect with it. But I saw it. The guy I was with played with it. He says, it's got nice energy. And then they had an auction in May, and I went down to Indianapolis and bid on some things, and all of a sudden, I started getting an obsession about this 67-pound skull. And on July 23rd of this year, I went down there with the intent. I want it. It was just like a craving. And bid on the auction, and I ended up spending twice as much as I wanted to. And brought it back to Chicago and sat down and meditated with it. And you know, wanted to know what it would be like to be called. Well, on the 23rd of July this year is the day that Sirius, the brightest star in our solar system, opened for 55 days. Sirius is part of the the constellation of Orion. It's the dog in Orion. And it's dubbed the name of the dog days of summer when Sirius opens. And what happened is the skull wanted to be called Star Sirius because I got it on the 23rd, and it is a star. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the energy is, to me, this crystal skull is a spiritual shortwave radio. When you sit in front of it and you put one hand on each side of the head by the temples, you're making a connection. You're making a circuit. And it's making a circuit with you. And people will close their eyes and just feel what's going on in their bodies. And they can. Some people will feel like a heartbeat. Some people will feel a pulsation. Some people are thrown into the universe to become part of the universe. Everybody gets a different experience. And my feeling is that Star Sirius is growing. It's getting this energy. And at some time in the near future, it'll open up to other realities. As you know, there are supposed to be 13 ancient crystal skulls that were not made by humans. And that when all 13 are aligned in a certain way, it'll open a portal to another reality.
Right.
And I believe this. I do.
That's wonderful. I cannot say enough about this skull, people. If you're ever in the Chicagoland area, you definitely need to go check this out. When I put my hands on Star Sirius, I mean, it was a download and a half. It was just almost like I was magnetized to it. It's absolutely incredible. We're almost out of time, and Stephen, it has been a thrill to have you on the show. I'm so happy that you're doing my business for me. Yay! I love it.
And I'm glad to do it, too, because it's such a beautiful symbiotic relationship.
It really is. It always has been, and it's wonderful. I love it. I want you all to visit the website at shop.galactichealing.org. When you go there, up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the contact information for the store. Stephen, thank you so much for being here today. And many, many blessings, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. And looking forward to talking again.
Okay. Many blessings.